All right, hello. Welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. This is our Emmett Fox Friday show. Of course, we're using Find and Use Your Inner Power, otherwise known as The Sparks of Truth by Emmett Fox, new thought leader and hero of mine, as well as Chris's. Our chapter this week, our little section, actually, it's not a chapter, it's just a little section. It's on page 9. It's called The Will of God. So we're going to talk about the will of God today. So we'll read through it and then we'll break it down as we do each week on our show. Do check out our show, of course, on Sunday. You know, we're always, we do our weekly show on Sunday. That's the bigger show. It's about an hour long. These shows are a little bit shorter and a little, you know, a little quicker. I'm going to get you through them with a basic idea. So before I ruin that quickness by elucidating how quick the show is going to be, we'll jump right into it. All right, so I will read the first paragraph, and we'll just kind of go back and forth. Okay, Chris?
Okay, we'll do it.
Let's do this thing. The most wonderful thing in the world is the will of God. The will of God for you at the present moment is something glorious and beautiful, thrillingly interesting and joyous, and, in fact, far beyond anything that you could possibly sit down and wish for with your conscious mind.
It is unfortunate that so many people seem to assume, as a matter of course, that the will of God for them is likely to be something dull or burdensome, if not positively repulsive.
I suppose it's God's will for me, so I must put up with it, people say when talking about some condition they hate. Thy will be done, pious people say in the face of death or tragedy. All this is absolutely wrong. The will of God for man is life, health, happiness, and true self-expression, and it is only in connection with these things that we can say, thy will be done.
Trouble or suffering of any kind does not come from God. It is an indication that there is a lesson to be learned by us, and the trouble itself furnishes us with the very opportunity that we need in order to learn that lesson, so that such a thing need never happen to us again.
Trouble is valuable opportunity. Experience is priceless instruction. The will of God for you is always something joyous and fine. All right, so there's a lot there. We're going to unpack a little bit of it. But, you know, Emmett Fox really does get to the heart of the matter with his little nice short messages as well. What strikes you first with that, with this idea?
Well, it seems like he spent more time what the will of God isn't.
Yeah.
Or contrasting those than really going into detail on what God's will is for you. I mean, yes, he called it, you know, happiness and, you know, joyous and fine and all these things that are wonderful. But that's, he contextualized it that way, that the common or a common usage of that, you know, thy will be done. Well, it's God's will, you know, who knows, God's working in mysterious ways, that it's some sort of, you know, reluctant acceptance of some negative thing. And, wow, that alone puts a completely whole spin on the whole thing. And it's, he's very purposeful when he does these things, because there's just a few paragraphs. There's not a lot of time or space to go on and on. And so what he chose to, you know, I guess juxtapose.
Yeah, was what it's not.
Side
right?
by side. Yeah, that's the point of this. Kind of really get out of what it is. And yes, you want to move towards what it is. So just for starters, that's what really.
No, you're right. That's deep. And you're right about that. It is interesting because, I mean, I think the flip side of this, like, it's not sort of like, you know, sort of Judeo-Christian language of thy will be done and this sort of thing. But I mean, people will say other things like, oh, that's just my lot in life, or, oh, that's, you know, that's my genetics, or, oh, that's, you know, the family. We always have this or that, or, you know, this, that, and the other thing runs in the family. And I like one of the, here's my Rev Ike reference for the day. You know, he said, well, you know, this lady came to me and told me, you know, this runs in my family, and the boogie woogie, you know, flu and the whooping cough and this, that, and the other thing, and just saying all these different things. And he's like, yeah, those things run in the family. This is where they run the hell out. And I'm like, exactly. Because it's like, you know, we think this will or this sort of lot in life thing, or, you know, the universe deems it that it's like this, or astrology and my sign make me that, or, you know, I'm an anxious person, and that's what, you know, that's what the doctor told me. I have generalized anxiety disorder, so, you know, I have to be like this. And, you know, all of that stuff, we think that that's like the, that's where things are set for us. And he's trying to say in this that it's like, no, you know, God's will, you know, and or the, you know, the universe's will or spirit within or whatever you want to call it is that is for you to have, you know, health, life, happiness, true self-expression, you know, joy, things like that. And to connect with that idea, because, you know, to latch on to those sort of negative ideas about oneself is to define oneself in those ways and then live that out. Right.
Well, look at how. Right. Well, look at how we even define God. So to take this will of God being a negative thing really goes against what maybe a dictionary definition of God is. We don't say that God is, well, he's sort of knowing. He's not very powerful. He's, you know, all knowing, all powerful, all present. Yeah. He's sometimes there, sometimes. He doesn't know too much. You're talking about something else at that point. So it really flies in even a dictionary definition of that. And of course it is. I mean, you know, God Almighty, it can do anything and miracles and all these things. And if, you know, if that's the will of God moving through you, now the expression of that will be highly individualized, as any archetypal thing is. But on the essence level, on the very basic, fundamental, what it is level, yes, it's the same kind of energy, and wouldn't that be good things and beautiful things? And look at nature and, you know, all the harmonious things and the planets moving properly and
gravity holding you down and to the planet and, you know, just all the natural order and natural law that exists. And it doesn't say, you know, I like that he's honest about it. You know, trouble or suffering, you know, is a fact of life. We do experience those things at times. And so to look at them and to say, well, look, this isn't some sort of punishment or something by God. This is something I need to learn from. I need to overcome. That's going to make me stronger and to find the meaning in it. You know, like you would, like we've talked about before many times with, you know, like with Viktor Frankl, you know, you find the meaning in suffering and then you can really survive and thrive in life. If you've got a meaning, if you've got a why. You know, and so you've got to connect that idea to it too, and then also realize that, you know, this too shall pass, and know that there are greater things coming, and know that your life is bigger than this one, you know, difficult situation or illness or, you know, pain you're experiencing at that moment or disappointment with a relationship or any of these things that, you know, come up, that you're going to get through that, and there is something bigger, and there is something to learn from those things oftentimes, because how, like, relationship is a perfect example. How many times have we just, you know, go through blindly and, you know, keep getting involved with the same bad relationship, but just with different names and faces, right? But it's the same substantial story, you know, it's the same kind of person that we get involved with. And we just don't seem to see, like, oh, why does this keep happening to me? It's because you keep choosing the same person. There's a lesson to learn, you know what I'm saying? And so then when you can lift yourself out of that and learn the lesson from it, then you can really open up to God's will, which is for you to actually have a great relationship and to really thrive and survive and, you know, have a really creative and spiritual life. So, you know, something to chew on a little bit, right?
Right. Well, that's the whole, you know, maybe the last third of this whole, you know, very small piece. It has to do with, well, then what is this, you know, if it's not the will of God that I be unhappy or suffer or put up with this nonsense, you know, what is the point? And I like that, you know, that there's a, you know, a lesson in it, and something you know, you may hear people say, and I've probably said it myself, like, oh gosh, how many times do I have to learn this lesson?
Yeah, right.
And the answer is once.
The answer should be once.
If you're getting it over and over, that means you haven't. It's just, you're just repeating it again.
Exactly.
And then it stops once you say, and I think this is right here, you know, we can ask. This is where this Jungian training and archetypal psychology and active imagination, you know, we can maybe ask the trouble.
Yeah, personify it and talk to it, right?
Yeah, what is the lesson I need to learn? How can I, you know, get through this, or not just even get through this? How can I change something about me in the way I'm thinking? Not to blame me, even if someone else is driving you nuts. Why am I so bothered by this person? Why is it? You know, you said relationships are great because it puts a mirror right in front of you.
Absolutely.
What's that Beatles song, Nowhere Man? Yeah. Living in his nowhere man, doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, aren't we? Sure. You know, so we can see, in others, in our relationships, things that inspire us, but also things that really trouble us, that's an indication that, okay, there's something in that, especially if it recurs, then it's on a different level. It's not on the particular, like whack-a-mole. It keeps coming up again. So what is the underlying thing? What do I need to know? If I feel I'm not being heard at work or in my relationships or, things like my children or things like that, maybe I need to reevaluate, what it is I'm saying. Maybe I'm saying it in a weak way. Maybe I'm coming off wishy-washy or I'm contradictory in what I'm saying. Maybe my message isn't clear.
Well, maybe I'm not.
And that's why it's not getting through.
Too. Maybe that's another thing. How am I not listening?
Yeah, how am I not listening?
Right? So those are all great examples for sure.
And that's how we can maybe unpack some of these. And they're hidden, but that's kind of half the fun. Okay, well, then what is it? And you can maybe discover, and like a pond, it's hard to discover what's on the bottom if you're agitating the water and kicking up the silt and the muck. It's when you kind of get in a quiet space. Again, this always seems to be the answer, is kind of a meditative or quiet space where you can look at the trouble and then ask, okay, I'm not troubled and agitated by this trouble at the moment. So this is a nice quiet time. Who are you? What do you want? How can I be better in such a way that you don't have to trouble me?
What do I need to know that I'm not, that I don't seem to be getting because I'm experiencing this stuff over and over again? Tell me what I need to know. Give me an image or give me some ideas to work with. I think that's important too, isn't it?
Definitely.
So, and I think then too, it is like, the flip side of this, of course, like we said, is that he does dwell a lot on kind of like understanding that trouble is not necessarily the will of God or will of spirit for your life, right? But that instead, you've got to claim that the opposite of that, the flip side of that. So when you are even going through some of these issues, that even while you're working on understanding them, you're also claiming their opposite. So if, let's say you're, if you feel, like the Bible said, let the weak say he is strong. So you're claiming something that's opposite of the thing you're actually feeling at the moment. So if you're not feeling well, particularly, saying to yourself, I'm healthy, I'm happy, I feel strong, I'm getting better and better every day. Something like this, like affirming the opposite of, that's what they call in New Thought, affirmative prayer. The God in me is my health, as Reverend Ike said. And other New Thought teachers as well, they had a lot of those same affirmations. I think that was particularly his. But, there's Joseph Murphy's got some beautiful affirmations and so on that you can listen to. And Emmett Fox, of course. But claiming the opposite of those things that you're experiencing is how to, really how to change those circumstances, because you've got to create that new belief and that new idea and claim that within in order to change that circumstance also. That really is God's will for one, because, the universe wants us to be happy, to be joyful, to fully experience life, to be creative and stuff. But then, of course, there's challenges and difficulties and all these, tragedies that we face and so on, but we can persevere through that and still remain, fundamentally joyful and happy to be alive. And I think that's one of the lessons that we're here to learn, how to control the mind to do that, right?
Right. And he mentions that, I guess we're shifting to, what is the will of God and how can we, align more with that? Brings up a really interesting point. He said, the will for God for you at the present moment is something glorious and beautiful, thrillingly interesting. And in fact, far beyond anything that you could possibly sit down and wish for with your conscious mind. So he's making a distinction between what's your conscious mind, maybe ego mind or your personal self, who you are, that you think you are, and other people do too, that this is something, not only is it different, it's fundamentally different. It's far beyond your greatest wish. It's even greater than that. As a matter of fact, the highest wish, you're still limiting that in some way.
Yeah,
and that kind of puts you in a different position. Okay, so the will of God isn't just all this strife that I'm facing. And then it's even bigger, more glorious and fulfilling than anything I could imagine. So you know, say, well, the sky's the limit. It's like, well, not really.
It goes,
you know,
it goes
keep on going.
It goes way. That. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
So get beyond the horizon of yourself. You know, if you know it's not this negative thing, and then oh, I want it to be this positive thing. Just know that it keeps on going. It could even be better than what you wish. Don't limit your wishes, your desires. Like for health, well, I just don't want to cough and sneeze as much, or I just, you know, wish my foot would stop hurting. It's like, no, see yourself dancing. So not only you're not coughing and sneezing, you got the lung power to be out there on the floor and your feet don't hurt.
Absolutely.
And you know what I mean? And then what comes with that? Well, then you're with friends or you meet a girl or go beyond just not feeling bad or just maybe, oh, I'm feeling better. What does that look like? What does that feel
That's
like?
A good point. It goes it goes beyond just like treating, you know, some symptoms or something and, you know, in going back to some sort of, you know, homeostasis or, you know, starting point or whatever, but actually going beyond what you even would think was possible for yourself. Right. So that's,
what's the old saying? I didn't get what I wanted, so I had to settle for something better.
That's a great one. Yeah.
I don't know, Oscar Wilde or somebody. I want to misquote, but like it's not quote. What me.
Yeah. Oh, it's genius. I mean, and it's true. It's like, you know, so many times we, you know, we limit ourselves to certain ideas about who we think we are or what is possible for us. And, you know, it may not be a bunch of negative, tragic stuff, but it may be pretty neutral and small also. And, you know, he's saying go beyond that, even, you know, expand your consciousness to areas where, you know, it might even push you out of, you know, your knowns and your, you know, your sort of comforts and things. Because, you know, this is the thing about it. Those things that we know feel comfortable to us because they're familiar. We should call them the familiars, you know. Those familiars, even if they're crappy, become somewhat comfortable, and I put quotes around it, almost like an old cruddy pair of shoes, but just for some reason you just keep wearing them even though there's a hole in the bottom and, you know, they pinch your feet and this, that, and the other thing. But for whatever reason, you just don't want to get a new pair of shoes, or you don't see the possibility of a more comfortable pair of shoes because you haven't expanded your consciousness.
Well, look what happens. Right. Well, say you do expand your consciousness. What happens when you do get a new pair of shoes? They're going to be stiff and they're going to be uncomfortable, and you're not going to like them either at first, because it's new and you're getting out of the old shoe. But as soon as you break them in and then you go put your old shoe on, you go, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm wearing these darn things."
I wore this before. No, it's a good point. And you're right. There is always a little bit of discomfort with things that are new, even when they're great. I mean, look at people that win the lottery. Oftentimes it's like the worst thing that could happen to them because they don't prepare themselves mentally, and they don't, you know, they don't have the financial skills to deal with a lump sum of money because they've never thought about that, or it just seems too good to be true and they're guilty about it, and all the neighbors are, you know, suddenly jealous of them and they've never had to deal with that before, you know, whatever it is. But you know what I'm saying? So it's like we've got to get comfortable with our own bigness as well. Like when we expand our consciousness, at first there's a little discomfort because it's new. But it's, you know, but again, like he's saying, that's God's will. That's the will of the universal spirit for us to expand and grow. Look at the universe is expanding. This is science. So when everything's expanding, you know, it's on a constant, you know, expansion. You know, there at some point there may be a contraction. I don't know. You know, maybe worlds come, worlds go, like, you know, like the days and nights of Brahma in Hinduism. But at this point, as far as we know, it's expanding. So, you know, this then needs to be the way that we react towards life. And we need to expand. We need to expand our consciousness, our expectations, our joy, our happiness, our creativity, and not just simply, you know, kind of move through life with this familiar kind of, oh, you know, it's just life is what it is, and I'm just kind of going through the motions and getting up and going to work each day. And it's like every single day is a new opportunity to expand your life, even if it feels like the same exact day as it was yesterday, going to the same exact job. There's always something new. There's, you know, and that's the thing, if you start looking for those things that are new around you all the time, you can start to develop them within your consciousness. You know, look at that tree that you thought was the same tree yesterday. I guarantee you it's changed. Some leaves have dropped off, some new buds have formed, some, you know, something imperceptible has happened to it. But if you really concentrate on things, you can see that everything is in constant motion, constantly changing, constantly growing and evolving. And we're the same way. And so we got to remember, like, even if we're going through the motions that seem repetitive, we can break out of that at any given time, right?
We can. And one technique, you know, I guess I got, and speaking of Fox and his relation to 12-step recovery, addiction recovery, is that having an openness, being open and willing. So we'll go back to maybe the ailment or something, you're in pain or, you know, sickness or something. And yes, you imagine getting better. Yes, you imagine health. Imagine you dancing and being free and all what that health means and how you can, you know, expand your life and live again in a way that you maybe haven't in a long time or maybe ever. Maybe you get your best vision and then leave a door open and a window and then just always kind of like add or something better.
How about that will be done? New thought and you know, science of mind. It's always, and this or something better will come my way. You know, when you're
better than even my idea. Maybe the universe has a completely different, you know,
more elegant solution, a more prosperous solution, a more beautiful solution, right? Than I could have even come up with.
Yeah, so we're dealing with an invisible source anyway that makes itself visible through you and your life and the lives of others. But if you're kind of dealing with this, then you have to have the what's unseen, even beyond your own vision of what your health is going to be, and also how it's going to happen. You can't put that limitation.
Don't outline, as they say. Don't outline. I love that term because, you know, it's trying to, you know, it's like the ego is trying to tell, you know, the infinite wisdom how to do its job. And it's like, man, don't even try.
There's galaxies, there's planets going around suns, and you're going to tell me how you want to, you know, solve your problem with area, you know, your boss.
Yeah, or your issue with your boss. Exactly. Thanks a lot, man. I'll take that into consideration and then I'll just go ahead and ignore you and figure out a better way to do it. How about that? Like, you know, sometimes stuff happens exactly as we think. And sometimes, you know, it comes out in a completely different way. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why I love how you tacked on that idea of like, this or something even greater, or this or something even better, or this or something that I couldn't even possibly imagine. You know, but yeah, that's the thing with affirmative prayer is ask, you know, ask and put it out there and say, you know, this is my situation. I'm affirming and, you know, and I have faith and confidence that the universe is going to provide me with, you know, this job that I need, that's going to pay me, you know, at least this much money or whatever, you know, be specific too for things. It's okay. And, you know, this in this or something greater is coming my way now. And I have faith and confidence that, you know, all my needs are met in divine order. It could be something as simple as that, you know.
I like that up there. Remember that, or write it down. Listen to the recording. That's good. Yeah,
thanks, sure. Man. That was off the top of my head. The Holy Spirit's moving through. That wasn't me. Yeah. So, right, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. When you show up, the will of God shows up for you. So that's the other.
Well, the words will show up on your tongue too. If you leave, you know, the universe an opportunity. Yeah. Thank you very much to have a voice.
Absolutely. And, you know, and you can trust that too. That's the other thing. And, you know, we did a little prayer before we went on and said, you know, Spirit, move through us and, you know, help us to speak the words that people need to hear. And it's like, every time you show up, you can say those little silent prayers to yourself. If you've got if you're meeting with a coworker and it's a sensitive issue and you don't know exactly what to say, you know, God in me, I know you're there for me, and Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, you know, I need some assistance in this matter so that it works out for its highest and best good and for the peace of all involved. And, you know, and I want to get my own ego out of the way. So please, you know, work through me to help alleviate the challenge of this situation. Something like that, you know.
That's great. And just as a side note, if, you know, the will of God, and using that terminology and thinking and believing and trying to get on board with this God thing is going to work through you. that you can trust. And if that's uncomfortable, just change it to good.
There you go.
And that's good. What is the good? The good harmony.
Sure.
The good words to say, the good feelings to have, the good return for good work. You know, the good you, make yourself better, you know, look for the good. And it's the good in everything. And what's, you know, God is good, good is God, you know.
That's a great way to put it.
But, you know, you're not limited to using this technique if there's, you know, if the G word is weird. It doesn't have to be
the G word. Are we at that? Are we at that place now?
No, but I know that
it can be uncomfortable for some people. But I hear you.
It shouldn't, but it shouldn't prevent you from actually using these techniques.
That's a fantastic point.
Again, that comes from
recovery,
the recovery world, because you have to, you know, develop one of your own understanding. Yeah, I've heard all kinds of things, you know, from the universe
we're not going to nail
the good within. It doesn't have to be religious or dogmatic or resemble anything that you've ever heard or read
your experience
book or heard somebody talk about at a sermon. It definitely does not have
to
be limited or construed in those ways. It's really up to what's the good, what's the best, what's the highest, ideal. That's something a scientist would be on board with, and an atheistic scientist. What's the ideal way for this atom to, you know, connect other atom and to form this molecule?
That's working whether or not you have these or that, you know, particular beliefs. But you do have to understand that. You know, there is something at work. And even if, you know, if you want to call it subconscious mind or unconscious mind, or, you know, your deeper self or whatever you want to do, it really higher power. All these are really kind of just labels. They're labels for that consciousness that we partake in, that we can use, you know, and we can use our positive thinking to create better situations for ourselves and others. And that's all it is. And, you know, so don't get hung up on the labels. That's a great point, Chris. Thank you. Yeah. All right. We're at the end of this thing. We're keeping these short, and I think that was a great one. So I want to read this one last thing, just as the very last portion of it, just to put an end point on this. Trouble is valuable opportunity. Experience is priceless instruction. The will of God for you is always something joyous and fine. So move beyond that trouble and challenge and know that there's something joyous and fine. Just claim that good and own it. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Please join us again next week for Emmett Fox Friday. And check us out on Sunday as well for our regular podcast, The Cosmic Eyes Show, that we do each week. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate your help. Goodbye and God bless.